Well, it's good to gather together this morning, worship the Lord together. We had a lot of different thoughts this morning. When the brother was speaking about the Pauline epistles, that kind of struck a note to me. I thought, well, we're on the same subject here. So that was a blessing. And as I was doing my research, I found the best results under the Pauline epistles. As we seek the Lord together, it's a blessing to see Him move in that way. Why don't we pray a minute and then seek the Lord for direction here. Father, this morning we come before You. We quiet our hearts. We open our hearts to You. And just ask that You could come and speak to us. Pray that You could make Your word alive and real, and Lord, that You could pierce down into our joints and marrow, and that You could help us to discern the thoughts and intents of our heart and to see, Lord, where we're at with You this morning. This morning I desire to have clarity of thoughts and mind. Pray You give direction concerning the message. Pray, O God, that You'd help us as we worship together, that You could speak to us and bless us as we go forward from this place. We thank You, Lord, for Your love to us. In Jesus' name, amen. I have some thoughts in my heart this morning. I'm going to open the message with it might seem like a strange situation to get a message from, but it just came down on my heart real strong. This past week, we had Joe Glicks and Stephen Troyer over for supper Tuesday evening, and We have the roof in mind here, how to go about that, how to give some direction, and what we need to get, and things we need to order. You know, trying to bring structure to a plan for when you have a work day or a week of work. And so we were going about doing that, and we had this man lift here. And my heart still shakes thinking about it, but we had this man lift here. We drove up on the end of the building, and us three brothers got in that thing. We wondered about the weight, but we thought we'll probably be okay. So we put this thing up and up, and I think it was about maxed out, and we got to where we were needing to go, but we're still a little short on our height on the gable end there. So I stayed sitting there, and Joe climbs up top of the railings to get a better look, and Steve, he just gets on the roof and walks clear down the ridge pole, one end to the other, trying to get his measurements while he's standing up there, and I'm watching, and my knees started getting so weak, I turned around and went like this. And I held on because my knees were giving out. You ever had that feeling before? I couldn't look. And I stayed there till he came back a ways. Then I look again and I'm just unbelievable, you know. And he's walking down the length of this ridge. He's just stuck to it. And I don't know, should I pray or am I tempting God? I don't know which way it was. But I did some thinking on both sides of the ridge. And this burden came on me, you know, about how that is, that he can be up there and I can't even be where I am. What's going on? why is it that it is that way at times as we relate to life? He was as comfortable as I was standing holding on, you know. Then he sits down and we talk and he gets up and goes to the other end to clarify a few more measurements. And by that point, I was getting a little more used to it and I at least held on to the roof. But I had one hand on the lift and one hand on the roof, you know. I was 40 feet up, you know. And I told the fellas, because I used to build houses, and I used a lot of lifts, and I got the hang of where I could balance the thing at, and I kind of saw the thing moving, and I kind of knew my limits, and I got used to it. But it's been 23 years since I've done this for work, and I'm used to standing on solid ground, and I don't think that way anymore, you know? And I'm 44, and my knees don't work like they used to, and I think about that too, you know? And all these things come to me that I think about so I don't go out of the ridge anymore. You know, I used to ride the ridge. I'd set rafters and trusses. No problem. Reach for the next one. Climb out. I don't know. How many have rode the ridge and put on purlins the first row? How many of you have done that here? Put your hands higher. I want to see how many know that exhilarating feeling of being on the ridge. There's a few of us, and I used to enjoy that. But then it got to where I had to supervise, so I had to be on the ground and watch somebody else do it. And I always had a word of caution for him anyway, but that's a feeling that you only can experience if you're up there. So anyway, the gravity of the situation hit me. There's the brother with eternity on both sides, you know? And he's walking. And if my life depended on it, I probably could have too. But I was much more comfortable elsewhere. And so as I thought about that and I just observed how this thing can be, it just worked on me the rest of the week, brother. It was good for me to ponder on these things. And my thoughts turned to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. You can turn with me there. My heart was touched with this thing and stirred, and probably rightfully so, I guess. How could we say when you do roofing? I don't do roofing, but you think about it probably every day. First Corinthians chapter 12. We want to look here at the gifts of the Spirit, or the fleshly outworkings of the church and our place in that work. We all have a place to fill. Some of us, it's on the ridge, and the other guy's got to clean up the shingles. We need everybody. We need everybody. We need the doorkeepers, and we need the ones that are willing to preach. You know, for some brothers, they would not want to preach a message. For the next brother, it just flows. The next brother ponders on that, and his knees shake. Mine were so weak, I was like this, you know, holding on. To what? I mean, he was holding on too, but it was with his feet. I was holding on like so. I literally couldn't stand anymore, seriously. But how do we find it? There's a time when we need each other to lift each other up. And there's a time when it's time for us to walk. But we depend on the other brother to be there. And it's a blessing. And we want to look at that this morning. And my heart is somehow that the church of God, or the body of Christ, is revealed to those around us, revealed to one another, revealed to this community that we live in a real way, that people can see that the church of God works. Yeah, it has issues. We're people, we're human, but it can work, and God can bring our hearts together. He can take us somewhere. he can use that arm, as it were, to minister and to accomplish his work in this world. And I just would like to study some on that this morning. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I would not have you ignorant. Ye know that you were Gentiles, carried away unto these dumb idols, even as ye were led. Wherefore I give you to understand that no man speaking but by the Spirit of God calleth Jesus accursed, and that no man can say Jesus is the Lord but by the Holy Ghost. Now there are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. And there are differences of administrations, but the same Lord. And there are diversities of operations, but it is the same God which worketh all in all. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit withal. For to one is given by the Spirit the word of wisdom, to another the word of knowledge by the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another gifts of healing by the same Spirit, to another the working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another discerning of spirits, to another diverse kinds of tongues, to another the interpretation of tongues. But all these worketh that one and the selfsame Spirit, dividing to every man severally as he will. For as the body is one and hath many members, and all the members of that one body being many are one body, so also is Christ. For by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body, whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, and have been all made to drink into one Spirit. For the body is not one member, but many. And if the foot shall say, because I am not the hand, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? And if the ear shall say, because I am not the eye, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? If the whole were an eye, where were the hearing? If the whole were hearing, where were the smelling? But now hath God set the members, every one of them, in the body, as it hath pleased him. And they were all one member, and if they were all one member, where were the body? But now are they many members, yet but one body. And the eye cannot say unto the hand, I have no need of thee, nor again the head to the feet, I have no need of you. Nay, much more, those members of the body which seem to be more feeble are necessary. And those members of the body which we think to be less honorable, upon these we bestow more abundant honor, and our uncomely parts have more abundant comeliness. For our comely parts have no need, but God hath tempered the body, having given more abundant honor to that part which lacked, that there be no schism in the body, but that the members should have the same care one for another. And whether one member suffer, all the members suffer with it, or one member be honored, all the members rejoice with it. Now ye are the body of Christ, and members in particular, and God has set some in the church, first apostles, secondarily prophets, thirdly teachers, and after that miracles, then gifts of healing, helps, governments, diversities of tongues. Are all apostles, are all prophets, are all teachers, are all roofers? Had to think about that. And are all workers of miracles? Have all the gifts of healing? Do all speak with tongues? Do all interpret? But covet earnestly the best gifts, and yet show I unto you a more excellent way. Now, granted, I will say there's some things here we're not going to discuss this morning. We don't have time. One of them's the gifts. I'm just not going there, of the tongues and of healing and so forth. I'm not parking on that subject. But some of the things I'd like to look at are the different gifts that there are. There's apostles, and there's roofers, and there's, you follow what I'm saying? There's all kinds. And God has ordained it to be that there are that way, because he's got a work to accomplish. And with humankind, there's a variety of needs. And with more people, there's more needs. And it takes more gifts to meet the greater variety of needs. And it's a beautiful thing to see a body, the fingers. It says, where were the eyes? If the eyes would want to go their own way, where would the body go? If the hand didn't want to be fastened perfectly to this body, what good would it be? Can't milk a cow without the fingers, huh? And if the feet wanted to go that way, but we had to go this way, where would we go? It's very difficult without good feet to go places. But when you have that body working together as a unit, you can accomplish something. There's a lot of power, there's a lot of purpose. A lot can be accomplished. And if you think of that in regards to the church, the members of the church working together as a unit to accomplish a purpose in God's kingdom, it's beautiful. And God looks down and he wants to use it. And so he wants unity, he wants membership, he wants completeness. He wants wholeness. And so he pours out the gospel, he pours out his truth to wash us and purify our hearts. He brings dross to the surface so he can deal with that. And I think we've been through some of that as churches here lately. One member suffering, the other suffers with it. We know those pains. We sense those things and we're there for each other. We pray, we seek the Lord. We communicate what those needs are. We can understand and we can relate. We can share and we can assimilate that in our hearts and our walk with God and be there for one another. I got my hand hurt this past week. It got between a beam and the skid steer bucket, and I got a whop on this side and a whop on this side. And I'm doing therapy right now, stretching this thing. Why? Because this tendon hurts. I bumped it and about started crying yesterday. It hurts so bad. It hurts. Why does it hurt? One of your children tell me, why does this hurt? Any of your children know why? Because the bobcat hit it and hurt it, that's right. And so this sends a message up to my brain and says, be careful, that hurts. Take care of that thing. God, through his spirit, through our conscience, the brother said, he reaches down and touches and says, Dirk, don't go there. That's not wise. That's not a good place to go. Stay away from that. Take care of that thing. Baby it a little bit. It needs help right now. Do you ever have those feelings? 40, 50, 80 years old? You need help right now. Take care of it. And I'd like to just look at that this morning. Maybe we can make a list here of some gifts, some things that we appreciate. I was thinking of having each of us share things that we tend to do well in and mention that gift, but I thought, well, that probably wouldn't go so well. Maybe I'll just let us speak out. But the fact of it is, if you know yourself, you know there's certain things that you tend to do that are easy for you, that God appreciates if you look at his word. And there's other things that you admire, but somehow it just doesn't naturally come. Do you know what I'm talking about? Those of us as fathers or teachers, mothers, we know there's things that we really would appreciate but aren't naturally coming out of us. Amen. And there's some things that come out of us that are good. Maybe our partner helps us with those. Let's make a list here. Who has some gifts that we appreciate that we want to write down? Doctors. Doctors. just early on, I want to mention a little bit more spiritual-minded, like characteristic type things that we appreciate, just so we know. Encouragement. Exhortation, okay.
Listening ears.
I guess I should be saying these so some listening can hear. We have doctors, encourager, compassion, peacemakers, exhortation, listeners, singers, discerning spirits. Any other? Evangelists. Teachers. Evangelist. I'm going to put one down on the ladies' part here, homemakers. I'll be honest with you, the background that I come from, the sisters all went to college and headed off to the work field. And I still, to this day, look at these plain dresses and women that stay at home, and it's really good to my spirit. I remember so many times sitting down Sunday afternoons wondering if people ever have each other over Sunday afternoons, if there's any young ladies out there that want to be a homemaker and cook and sew. God, if they're out there, I don't know where they are, but I'd like to see some. I still think about that. And the Lord gave me one. Praise the Lord for that. Any other ones?
Organizers.
Anybody else? I think if we spent long enough, I could just keep going, couldn't I? There's things that we appreciate. And as I was sharing the impact of what I was realizing on the roof and the way that it gripped me, as I have observed relationships and people, I think many times people face that relating together. One person's really gifted and the other one struggles to even have a hold of faith, or maybe faces depression or discouragement. There's a variety of people and feelings out there. We're all different. And we all have gifts and weaknesses. And it's a blessing when we can be there to help each other. It's beautiful. I am so thankful that there's brothers that are comfortable on the roof. Because you know where I'm going to be, very likely, and you probably know where I'm going to appropriate a few to go ahead and be free to do their job. It doesn't mean I'm going to do it all, but someone has to organize, right? We need each other. And by nature of the differences, however extreme that they are, sometimes there's going to just be a little bit of chafing or rubbing, perhaps, when the one just shares like it is a little more prophetic. Maybe the other one's a little more of a mercy person. Wouldn't you say we need both? Amen? We do. We need the one that looks down the road a ways and says, if we do this, we're going to go there if that develops into a habit or a pattern. There's plenty of people that look at day-to-day life, and that's what they're concerned with. But there's some people that just look way down the road so far that sometimes it's a struggle for them to relate pleasantly on a day-to-day basis. They aren't getting there yet. And it's got to happen. I mean, it's got to get there once, you know. And the other person, he's just happy to do what's today. Relax. What's the issue? We're all different. And I thank God that we are, but sometimes it doesn't always feel that way, you know. Sometimes we look and we get weak. Sometimes we look and we feel like, oh, how am I going to get there? Was it worth it all? I made this decision, now look what I did. I won't ask how many of you have felt that problem before. I think we all know that feeling where we make decisions and we obligate ourselves, and then we realize the implications of that, and we end up having to call in reinforcements because we're not going to get there, you know. But thank the Lord that we have this opportunity to look at this and other gifts in the variety, and that we can be there for each other. So it says here, as we look at this verse 6 of 1 Corinthians 12, it says, there's diversities of operations, but it's the same God that works in all of them, doing his work to accomplish his plan. It's the same God. It's the same Spirit reaching down and touching that one that gives them the ability to sing. That stood out to me so much this morning. This thing of singing. If the bass is to the alto, you do it. I'm going to be quiet. I don't feel like it. If you have the whole thing come out in alto, it just doesn't sound right. You say sing in unison, what do we tend to do? We don't sing tenor, do we? It's naturally understood we sing soprano or the melody. If you have tenor or alto take off going that direction, everyone else is quiet, it just doesn't sound appropriate. It doesn't feel a comfortable sound in our ears. But if you put bass and alto, tenor, and then some more parts yet, and all those things, and the gifting of the brother that can float between those things seamlessly, it's beautiful. And we need that. Singing's one thing. Church life's another. Home life. In verse 11, it says, these work one in the selfsame Spirit, and the Holy Spirit reaches down and touches and works in our lives. In verse 4, it says, there's diversities of gifts, but it's the same Spirit. We can be very thankful for the fact that God, in his patience and his willingness to work with us, takes us and works in our lives and develops and accomplishes his plan. I had to think, you know, an evangelist. If we go out on the streets, you know, in October, there's going to be a sign-up sheet back there in New York City. We tend to go. We were talking about it this past week. We're going to hand out a lot of Bibles this year, Lord willing. Do tracts, but a lot of Bibles and no CDs this year, hardly. It'll be a little different. And there's different of us that enjoy standing on the street corner preaching. And there's some that would rather be back here singing. We need both. Some people, they see the people walking by and their heart just burns to get the gospel out. Maybe the one hands a paper, the other one has something to say. Maybe you're gifted in such a way you can do both. For some people, it just doesn't flow that way, you know? But we need both. And so 1 Corinthians 14:12, if you want to turn there, I'd like to look at a verse here. It says, even so ye, for as much as ye are zealous of spiritual gifts, seek that ye may excel to the edifying of the church. Now, being zealous to do our part and use our gifts is a blessing, and it should be that way. But he advises us to use our gifts for the edifying of the church, to strengthen, to temper, to balance, to bring fullness, to make it complete, to edify, and to strengthen in a deeper way. You know, there's something about this thing of giving up of self, laying ourself down, and crucifying that thing, mortifying it, so that when we use our gift, what we excel in, that it's appreciated and it's acceptable to those around us. Does that make sense? If somebody does their thing, what they're good at or whatever, that's natural for them, and they do it with a proud spirit, it doesn't smell the same, does it? It just doesn't feel good. It doesn't sit right. The fact is, we're gifted that way. Many times we are outstandingly different gifts. But learning to bring that down to a working level where we can flow together and can bless one another and not ride high up on that horse, as it were, but to do it with a humble spirit, it brings forth fruit, it brings edification and strengthening, and maybe shows the way to others that are looking on in such a way that they feel they can get a hold of that in a greater way. It's something that's edifying, it's strengthening, and it brings life to the church. We think of listeners. I've observed different people already that don't have a lot to say, but they listen. And I've watched that. Some real need situation comes along, and they just draw them out. And the person's just talking. They don't get done talking. It just comes. And then that person leaves feeling free. I'm not sometimes sure what the listener does with it all. But they listen, and that person leaves free, and the one listening, I'm learning on that. I've got to develop that gift further for myself. But he takes that, and the other one leaves free, is blessed. And like I said, I'm not sure what the listener does. But you need a good listener sometimes. I won't ask for a raise of hands, but how many of us have appreciated when someone stopped and listened and heard us out and gave us the opportunity to share what was on our heart, and it did something for us? I think we all know times where it meant the world to have someone to talk to. And we need good listeners. It's commendable. It's a good thing. Another one is discerning spirits. There's times I've watched different people and I'm like, you know, I could have told you that was going to happen, you know? Yeah, but then the other person, they wonder what happened. I've heard that said already. The one makes things happen. The other one watched it happen. And the other one wondered what happened. There's sometimes three kinds of people. And sometimes, if this discerning spirit, sometimes we do need to just relax. But many times it's good to have discernment about things going on. And this here quality of material as we heard this morning, is a good gauge to sort it out by. It's very healthy. Another one is mercy. That's something, as I've watched, I have so appreciated, and I've seen some mercy people. I've watched them over the years, and I've always been amazed that God says to the merciful, he will show mercy. And I've watched that thing, and I've watched these people. They're so merciful in each situation. They reach out and give. And then I watched some years later, and I've watched God do something in their lives and how merciful he was in working that thing out, and they could just keep going. And then he does it again, and I've watched that thing. Well, for me, sometimes I'm a little bit the other way. I'm a little more of a black and white type of person. And I tell you, when God usually speaks to me on something, he just literally stops me and I don't get away with it. I mean, I feel like sometimes I'm the first time for everything kind of guy. Have you ever had those feelings? It's like, oh my. For me, I find that's how it is. Now, maybe I'm just being open with you, brothers, but that's what I find. God's very, very direct when he shows me something. I'm usually not wondering what he's getting at. So he shows me something, and be it as it may, we need both. And mercy does need truth. If it goes way down the road and gets in that ditch too long, it's often not very helpful to people. It needs balance with truth. But so does the truth-minded person. He needs mercy. Do you follow what I'm saying, brothers? Does it make sense to you? We need both. I probably put truth here, truth-minded. And what's beautiful to me is if you can get these two together and you can take and you can link arms, as it were, and walk together and go places. When we can appreciate each other in brothers' meetings and couple that together with a purpose, it's beautiful. God wants to use this to strengthen us, to temper our walks and balance us, and bring our lives in a deeper direction with him. It says here, seek that ye may excel to the edifying of the church. My mom was a real quilter. She did lots of quilts. I called her this morning. I knew she'd have something to share with me if I did. And I asked her, how many of you sisters have ever heard of the Crown of Thorns quilt? You ever heard of that before? There's one that's called Steps to the Altar. I don't know. There's probably a lot of different names. Another one called Handyman. There's a lot of different quilts you can make. One's called Farmer's Field. My mom loved these things. Now, for some people, that's not their thing. But my mom, she was a master quilter. I'll just say it that way. But she'd get these little triangular-shaped things, and this whole thing was up on the wall. And if you look closely, you could tell as you went through the squares the story of what it was getting at. For a beginning quilter, it just looked like a big project, you know. But for her, she loved doing the designs and tying of the knots just where they needed to be and so on. So she could spend days at it, was very efficient with it, but it was beautiful. Sometimes I don't know if we realize the detail goes into one of those things, but this, the one Steps to the Altar, what it is, it's a picture of a person's life, and then when they came to the altar, and then there's a cross, and they get born again. It's like a story. She liked quilts that told a story. It meant a lot to her. For someone who is a beginning quilter, it would look too much. I mean, they were very detailed. But you need some of that in order to teach skills. You need all these different things. And like I said, we could put many more things on here, things we appreciate. In 1 Corinthians 14, if you can turn there to verse 37, it says, if any man think himself to be a prophet or spiritual, let him acknowledge that the things that I write unto you are the commandments of the Lord. But if any be ignorant, let him be ignorant. Wherefore, brethren, covet to prophesy and forget. Forbid not to speak in tongues, but let all things be done decently and in order. I'd like to turn to Romans chapter 12, too. There's some verses there that have really stood out to me in looking at this subject. Romans 12, verses 1 to 10. In pondering on these things a little bit, I was thinking about, you know, your little children, when you have a toy, someone buys you a truck, and you get this for your birthday, and you sit down to play with it. Maybe you go get a drink, and you come back, and your truck is missing. Where did it go? Its wheels went somewhere else. Somebody else has it now. What are you going to do? My one girl's got a sewing machine. Well, if she's comes back again to go at it again and her sewing machine is being used by someone else, or it's gone, do you know that feeling that happens down in here when it's yours, but it's not doing what you want it to do? It's gone. Or you go to get to that shovel and it's borrowed and it's not where it should be. It's at somebody else's place and it's not there when you need it. Do you all know that feeling? I think we do. That, I believe, is a picture of what God sees. When he's up in heaven, he saves our souls. He's gifted us the way that he has. But we're using that gift for something else other than his kingdom. We're letting it rest. We buried that talent. We're not using it because we don't want to go do something else. When God gives us a talent or he's allowed us to have a gift in a certain way, God looks down and it's only our reasonable service to give him back what he's purchased. He looks down and it's only reasonable that we function or do those things that he's asked us to. And may God help us in that. That's what we want to look at here in Romans 12. It says, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. You know, these gifts that he's given us, our bodies, the abilities that they have, he has done that in such a way that if we can do what he's asked us to do, it'll beautify and complete the workings of the church. It'll accomplish his plan and purpose. It's something that he desires to look down and he just wants to work with us. He wants to do something and accomplish his plan. And in verse 2, it speaks about being not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of our minds, that ye may prove what's good and acceptable in the perfect will of God. Want to go down in verse 9. Let's see. Kind of be careful here. I'm getting ahead of myself a little, but in verse 2, being transformed, that's something as we walk together, as we share together, it's so healthy to allow God to change our perspective at times, opening ourselves to another way of looking at things, maybe in a brother's meeting or at home or in the workplace. We hear something and we gauge that up against how we're looking at it But we see if we really look at it clearly, it's a better way. It's more scriptural. It's more profitable to go that way than it is to do what we've been doing. Are we willing to change? Are we shapeable? Can somebody relate with this where something can be done then? Or do we find ourselves at a difficult place? It's healthy to allow our minds and our hearts to be transformed by God's truth and by His plan. And as we work together in different of these things, peacemakers and prophets, exhortation and mercy, as we work together like that, it's healthy to open ourselves and allow God to transform our minds, to change us, and allow us, Him to use us for His purpose. In verse 3, it speaks about humility. We talked about that. It's such a blessing when somebody can go throughout their day and not be a sounding gong or a clanging cymbal with that which they're gifted with, but just a mercy person or one who comes alongside and functions in a way of truth. You know, they're not obnoxious. They're enjoyable to be around. Remembering that it's God working in us and it's not we ourselves that makes the difference. It's God. In verse 9, I thought there was a good thought there. I've got a couple other thoughts and then we'll wrap it up here. In verse 9 of Romans 12, it says, "Let love be without dissimulation." I did some study on that word. Dissimulation means let it be done without pretense, without hypocrisy. Let our love be worked out. Let our heart, let our gifting be worked out without hypocrisy or a put on front, but let it be done in love and humility. Doing what we do selflessly, so that what we do can be received and can be appreciated by others. So I guess that kind of sums up a lot what's on my heart this morning. Just the meditations that I had perched up by the roof. You know, this coming week, we aim to put a roof on the church here. And I believe it's going to take all of us working together to get it done in good time. But that's just putting a roof on. There's a lot that needs to be done here as we look at the community and souls and relationships, helping one another on this journey. And it's my prayer as I look at this that I could find myself a part of that work and God speaking to me and allowing me to move forward as well, that we can help each other, that we can bless one another, that we can function freely one with another as we walk this walk of life. We're all gifted in so many different ways and we need each other. May the Lord bless. May He help us as we launch out in this coming week to accomplish what He'd have for us. May the Lord bless.